This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building here in Provo, Utah. It's our Week 10 edition of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly BYU football chat with the Cougars' coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's show, we will look back at Saturday night's wild win in Salt Lake City that improves BYU to 9-0 on the year, 6-0 in conference, and up to 7th in the latest AP poll, BYU's highest November ranking since 1996. We'll be visiting today with BYU special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga and defensive coordinator Jay Hill. We begin today's show with Coach K-Pop. Coach, great to see you.
It's great to be back.
It's great to win that game.
Oh, yeah. Exciting. Hopefully, we didn't give anybody any heart attacks out there, but, man, it was fun.
Just another BYU-Utah game.
Yeah.
Right? Just such a garden variety. It's always something crazy.
What is it now, 20 of 24?
20 of 24 decided by one score, decided by single digits.
Yeah.
19 of the 24 by 8 points or fewer or one score.
Yeah.
And they just never end up just yawners. There's always something crazy, isn't there?
One of the most unbelievable finishes I've seen. And just proud of the guys, the way there was a lot of adversity there, especially in the fourth quarter with field position and having our backs backs against the wall, especially offensively the whole quarter. And we get a penalty that then sets us up for a game-winning field goal, which was, for me, being a coach here prior, and I was telling the D staff this morning, is I'm thinking back as we're driving the same direction we were driving in 2010, the same direction we were driving in 2012, that both needed field goals to win the game or tie it. And I'm thinking, okay, those both ended in block field goal. You know, and I'm just thinking in my mind, I got to get this out of my head right now. And,
we
get down there and we get it up with the ball on the left hash where Will preferred it, even though he didn't say he preferred it that way, but that's where he did prefer it. And it ends up hitting the game winner. It was fun.
I always appreciate the weeks that you're on the show because it seems like we always have great special teams plays to discuss from the game before. Yeah. This week is no different. We'll get into the particular moments, of course, but it was a big special teams game.
Yeah, I was happy for our guys because Utah's really good on special teams. They're and they have been for a long time. Going back to the days when Coach Hill was there, they've been really solid on special teams. And I think Coach Whittingham, he has his hand in a lot of that stuff. And so we knew going into the game that we were going to have to perform at a really high level. And we ended up meeting 8 of our 9 goals on special teams. The one goal we didn't reach was we wanted to be penalty free, and we got a penalty. We got a holding call, I think, late in the game. But other than that, we played really clean special teams and obviously game-changing play on kickoff return, and our field goal unit was solid. And I think that was Sam's best game as a punter. I think he was close to 45 net punt, and we didn't allow any return yards. And so just a really solid, great game for special teams.
Now your defensive ends hat for a moment, the buildup for this game, unique. Both teams had 2 weeks to prepare. And Utah was going to have different looks on offense, right? A new OC, a new starting quarterback. And as defensive coaches, you've had to prepare for a ton of quarterback changes,
yeah.
Either in the week of the game where you don't know, or in the game itself because of what's going on. There's been a lot of that uncertainty for you guys.
Yeah, and you know what? Going into this game, we had a pretty good idea what the coordinator was going to do. We went back and watched, some of the stuff that he did at Northwestern. And it really matched up a lot with what Utah had done earlier in the year. So you could tell that his influence was on the team early in the season. And so we had a pretty good idea what they were going to do. And then as far as the quarterback matter went, we knew that number 8 wasn't going to be as experienced as Isaac, but both, inexperienced guys that hadn't seen a lot of different coverages and game-like situations. And so we felt pretty good going into the game, but we did know that there was going to be some formations and plays that we weren't going to see or we hadn't seen. And that's just like most games. But, I thought our guys, besides the second quarter, played as good as defense as we played the whole entire year.
Okay, let's get into the game. Great start for the BYU defense. 3 and out to open the game as you got your first looks at Mekhi Bernard, one of the best backs in the league.
Yeah, they came out and ran the ball 3 times in a row, and I thought our guys came out really physical, knocked him back, and then got him in a fourth down situation right there, fourth and short. And I loved the way that our guys started the game. And that was one of the challenges that we gave them, was we didn't want to give these guys any confidence, especially the quarterback starting the game off. And to be able to get a 3 and out to start the game, that's if you go back to the games that we've played really good on defense this year, that's pretty much how the season or how those games have gone. And so just, I think we ended up giving up 260 yards in the whole entire game, and 80 in the second half or whatever it was. But yeah, this is the way that we should be playing as these clips you're seeing here on TV.
A great tone setter. Utah only completed two drives in the opening quarter, that three and out we just saw. Then a drive that ends on Jacob Robinson's third pick of the season, 11th now of his BYU career.
Yeah, I mean, J-Rob's always, it seems like he's always in the right place at the right time. And our guys did a great job. You go back and watch this clip right here.
It comes off a special, right?
Yeah, it comes off a throwback. But if you could see back to the left side right there, Crew Wakely and Jacob Robinson, they were all over it. They didn't fall for it at all. Crew had great eyes. He was looking right at the guy that he was supposed to cover. We're actually in a cover two concept right there. And so really for them, they were probably hoping that we were in man or some type of middle post defense, and being in cover two, I think, really gave us an advantage to that. And J-Rob made a great play. And
is it a play a quarterback might have checked out of, but a receiver in that case makes the play?
And
because
you know, kind of similar to what happened to Hinkley a couple games ago.
Yeah.
You know, when you get somebody that's not usually, you know, throwing the football and they get in that situation,
perfect.
They panic
yeah.
And they make a throw when they probably should just take a sack. But yeah, we were all over that. And, you know, I'm sure they're going back and looking at the film and probably wishing that he wouldn't have thrown that ball.
Cougs led 3-0 after one quarter. At the very end of the first quarter into the second is when Utah started to use Brandon Rose a little more as a runner.
Yeah, and really that very first run that they had was really just a misassignment by one of our guys, not aligning in the area that he was supposed to be in. So you see Isaiah Bagnell right there was lined up a little too far to the outside. And if he's lined up where he's supposed to be right there, that play ends up completely different. They run the same exact play, almost against the same exact call in the fourth quarter, and it goes for 1 yard. So it's a great lesson for our guys to just, when you do your job and you do it correctly, how the defense is designed to be, then we'll make plays. But if you get out there and we start making up our own stuff, then yeah, everything's a fair game for them now to start making plays. And in that game, you know, it's a lot was on us, especially in the second quarter. It wasn't so much what they were doing. I'll give them some credit. You know, they made Keithy made a pretty good double move on, I think it was Crew for their first touchdown. But I mean, a lot of those drives were a result of us not doing what we were supposed to do and not finishing plays and penalties. And so when we finally calmed down in the second half and played the way that we were supposed to play, then, I mean, you could go back to that and say maybe I'd give them a touchdown or maybe 10 points, but that 21 points for how we played in the second half should have never happened.
Second quarter? How you played in the second half, exactly, the way you shut them down, exactly, right. After BYU goes down 7-3 in this one, the first big special teams play of the day, Keelan Marion's second kickoff return touchdown of the season. I know you're going to want to look at this one with us.
That was fun. So we designed a return that they had struggled against. We really hadn't run this type of return all season long. And going back and watching film over the past couple of years, they had struggled against this return, and so we designed something. And Keelan goes almost untouched right there. And the thing that's great about it, the guys that were on that team right there, everybody, if you look at everybody, they're on their blocks, everybody making great blocks. You got Mason Fakahua, Ray Palu right there, Bodie Schoonover doing a great job. Those are our back end guys and really cleared the way. But then our front end guys right there did a great job. Faletau Satuala, one of the first reps he's ever got at kickoff return, he's on this team and he's there. And I love that pitcher right there. You know, he gets into the end zone and there's the other 10 guys right there ready to meet him. And you know, almost goes untouched to the end zone right there. They blocked it up as good as, you know, we could have designed it, and just really, really happy for the guys. And man, it went from that place just going, being electric,
you know,
after they scored their first touchdown, and now you could hear a pin drop. And you know, our little corner up there where the fans were going crazy. But yeah, just really happy for the guys in that situation, able to respond that quickly was fun.
First time in 35 years BYU's had a player return two kickoff returns for touchdowns in the same season with Keelan Marion. And now BYU has 5 non-offensive touchdowns this season. Pick 6, scoop and score, 2 kickoff return touchdowns, and a punt return. You can add in a great fake punt that was executed earlier, a great fake field goal, a 70-yard punt in a game. Special teams has been a huge part of the season's success.
Yeah, and, you know, I give credit to the guys. You know, everybody wants to look at me. It's really not me. I believe you got guys that are bought in and guys that believe, and we got really good players. And that makes your job a lot easier as a coach when you got good players around you to do good things. And, you know, when it comes to the return game, when you have really good players back there that are fast and a guy like Keelan that is just going to hit it and is fearless, then, you know, great things are going to happen like that. And so, if you just look at the season and the guys that are making those plays, we got good players, and that helps. That helps us coaches look a lot better. So,
well, great schemes too. Back in the game itself, Utah did score touchdowns on the final three possessions of the first half, but all the scoring on the night was confined to that one quarter.
Yeah, and you know, I think you might have put this stat out, and I shared it with the defensive stat. I think that 130 yards in the second quarter, and then 130 yards the first.
Yeah, it was 129 quarter. Versus yeah. 130 the rest of the way.
Yeah. So you know, it just goes to show the first quarter and the third and fourth quarter. That's what our defense is. What we did in the second quarter is not to our standard, and our players knew it. We went into halftime, and we knew there wasn't much to fix. It was. You know, we were going to make a wholesale change of the scheme, and Coach Hill did make some adjustments. We did a couple of different things new in the second half, but it was more of just getting our guys to do their job, do it the right way, being physical and with relentless effort, and just finishing plays. And we didn't do that in that second quarter. And then when we finally started doing it there in the second half, then that's the type of defense I think we can be all the time.
Yes, you already hinted at it. What were your, as you were walking into the locker room at halftime down 21-10, what's your prevailing thought at that point?
I think we all knew, because you know, you're talking throughout the half, and you know, we're talking over the headsets of what's going on, and it's just get our guys to execute and get them to do it, you know, with the right mindset. And if we do that, we're going to be just fine. And so, yeah, we got into halftime, and Kalani got us all on edge to get us going, and then wanted that message to be clear to the players as well. So he gave it to us assistant coaches, and the assistant coaches gave it to the rest of the position groups. And then I think they responded the way that they wanted. And that's the thing that's great about this team that I love, is you've got great leadership in every position, you know, with Batty, and I think Glasker and Jack and Harry at the linebacker position, and John Nelson and Blake at the D-tackle position, and Jacob Robinson, and, you know, all these other guys at the safety and corner position. And so we have great leadership. They all came together and said, we're going to get this thing going. And I don't think there was any doubt in their mind when we left the locker room that we were going to win that game.
Yeah, second half, there was no panic, but there was great urgency, and it showed up in the second half. All right, after the break, we'll close the book on the Utah game with Coach Kelly Papinga. As we go to break, we remind you to join Dave McCann and former Cougs Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night. It's a brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll look at BYU in Utah and ahead to Saturday versus Kansas. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we return, more with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga as the Coordinator's Corner continues. Brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
We are back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papinga. BYU winning its second straight game over the U over the weekend. Cougs first win in Salt Lake City in 18 years, 22-21. Your final, BYU now 9-0 on the year, 6-0 in the Big 12. We headed to the break with BYU trailing Utah 21-10 at halftime in the Kalani Sitake era. BYU had never come back from down more than 10 at halftime for a win until Saturday. What was the key to pitching a second-half shutout?
Wow, I did not realize that. That's awesome. First everything right there, right?
Yep.
I think just what we said previously, just getting our guys to execute and getting our guys to understand that, you know, and I don't want to make this sound wrong, but I think our team knew going into that game we were the better team. Like, if we showed up and played the way that we were supposed to play, that as a team, we were better. They might have had a guy here or a guy there that, you know, you could say was as good as anybody on our team, but as a team, we felt like we were a better team, and it was just getting our guys to believe that again and understand that we go out and play the way that we're supposed to play, we're gonna be happy when we walk back into this locker room after the game's over.
BYU this season, Coach, has a plus 73 scoring margin in the third quarter alone.
Wow.
Is that a direct reflection of the staff and the team's ability to make adjustments that are needed at halftime?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's that or if it's just our team being able to, you know, I think they're in really good condition. I think that a lot goes back to our strength coach, Coach Phyllis and his guys getting the boys ready to, you know, be, you know, stronger, you know, as the game goes on. Because, you know, I look back at it and I don't think we're making a ton of adjustments at halftime. It's more, you know, little things here and there, and then being able to just get our guys to, you know, execute maybe little things. I don't, you know, you're not going to make wholesale changes in a game unless you're just completely getting your fanny kicked, right? And so I never felt like that was the case in that game. It was more of just us, you know, doing the simple things, doing them better, and, you know, just coming down to the execution piece.
Okay. Neither team got a lot going in the third quarter. BYU did record a takeaway, though, that led to your only points of that third quarter. Crew Wakely, second pick of the season for him.
Yeah, and really, you know, Crew just did a really good job on that play of just reading the quarterback's eyes, and the quarterback threw it right to him. You know, I think the quarterback, you know, overthrew him a little bit right here. Wasn't getting much pressure, just, you know, made a little errant throw, and then the ball goes over his head, and then it goes right into Crew's hands. But and we knew going into the game that there was a high likelihood that that was going to happen quite a bit, where he was going to make some errant throws, just because with a guy that's not experienced, it just takes time, right? A lot of game reps are different than practice reps, and so we knew that there was going to be some overthrown balls, and our guys were going to have to be ready for them.
The only point scored in the third came off the foot of Will Farron. Made his second three-pointer of the game midway through that third quarter following the Wakely INT. That was his eighth consecutive field goal make at the time. He's been just rock solid for you.
Yeah, Will's awesome. And, you know, as we see later on in the game, mm-hmm. he just is as calm as any kicker as I've ever been around, as confident as any kicker I've ever been around. And just the way that he approaches everything, it's just fun. And just totally different than a lot of kickers that I've been around before. Will has a really, I think, a really good competitive spirit about him, and always wanting to be his best. And he's worked his tail off this offseason. Just the operation time, the time that the guys have put in between Dalton and Sam and Will, from the time of spring ball all the way through the season, I would love to put together all the hours that they put in. Because they've worked as hard as any special teams unit I've ever been around, or just making sure they get that down. Because Sam's new. Sam's never been a true holder. And to get him, you know, fine-tuned in exactly how Will wants it, how the ball needs to be tilted, where the laces need to be, all that whole thing, it just takes practice time. And they've worked their butts off.
The score was 21-13 after three, down only a score going into the fourth. Utah's offense was being kept, for the most part, on its own side of the field. Then BYU scores a TD to make it 2. The failed two-point try, then it's just a matter of, I think, the rest of the way giving your offense a chance, right? Their final four possessions, Utah's, of the second half, they were all punts.
Yeah, and, you know, it just goes back to what I've said this over and over again. Our guys were executing. They were playing physical. They were trying to run the ball. I think we were owning the line of scrimmage for the most part. They might have had a run or two there that got through the front line. But for the most part, I think our guys stepped up. I thought John Nelson played one of his best games. Batty played really well. And then I thought the linebackers, as always, played really good. But just happy for the guys that we played the way that we're capable of playing. That's always the hardest thing when you walk off the field sometimes and you look at the scoreboard, sometimes in a win and a loss, and you're like, man, we could have played better. But I do think our guys were proud of the way they played defensively in the second half and meeting the standard that we hold.
Let's get to the end game now. BYU got the ball back for one final time with under 2 minutes to play after that penalty on Utah late. Not much you could do other than hope that the field goal team would get a chance to tie the game. Of course, you would have taken any score, but it was likely going to be setting up for a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, and I'm walking up and down the sideline. I just said, hey, we got them right where we want them. All we need is to go on a drive, and we're going to be in field goal position. And so talking to the guys that are not on the offense at the time, so Sonny Moccasini was with me, Vil Puja, the kicker and the snapper and the holder. Who else did we have in there? Chittister, Bodie Schoonover. I'm just talking to those guys because there's a mayday situation that we could potentially have to be in where we had to rush them on the field. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, you know, Utah starts calling their timeouts. Yeah. And we knew that, you know, I was sitting there talking to them. We knew that they wouldn't be able to stop the clock once we ran our last play. And so I told them, hey, we don't need to rush this, but we need to make sure we snap this ball before the time runs out, because the clock was running when they ran on the field.
Right.
And, you know, we kick it with 3 seconds left. It would have been great if we would have kicked that thing with, like, you know, 1 second left on the clock, and then we don't have to deal with that kickoff return at the end of the game. But they executed that extremely well. The snap was great. The hold was great. Obviously, Will did his job. But the protection, as everybody looks at the protection, I've been in those games twice now where they've blocked kicks in that same exact situation in years past, in 2010 and 2012. Mm-hmm. And so just really, really proud of the guys holding firm and giving Will a chance to put the ball through the uprights.
And now you mentioned it. Utah using timeouts kind of dictated how much you would have to hurry.
Yeah.
But the final minute was run really smoothly, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did a great job. Our offense did a great job of just being productive in the run game and then being able to get the ball over to the left side. I think that was that last run right there by LJ to get the ball over the left side
right,
where the preferences. And, you know, I've told this story. I put it out on Twitter, and people are probably, you know, people, I think, liked it. But A-Rod's on the headset telling me, where does he want the ball? So I go to ask Will, and he has this smile on his face. He's like, I don't care, coach. It doesn't matter to me. Wherever it's at, it's going to go in. And so, you know, and just super confident. And just with that same smile
he's smiling.
Right there, yeah. And yeah. So, you know, even on the TV, people are sending me screenshots of him on the TV. They're spanning to him, and he's just as cool as could be. And that's just who Will is, and that's who he's been. And ever since he's been here, you know, going back to last season and what he's done this year, we obviously have a ton of confidence, Will. He's helped our team score a lot of points and put our team in position to win a lot of games this year.
And talking with him in the post game, to paraphrase him, it came down to muscle memory for him. He's like, guys, you got to believe me. I wasn't really that nervous because I just do this all the time, you know? And I guess if that's the kind of, you know, mindset you have, that could be the best possible thing for a kicker.
Yeah, and he's worked really hard with our sports psychologist guys, Braden Brown and Craig Manning, and he's worked with those guys, and I think they've really helped him have, you know, develop that mindset. And so just another resource that our guys use to help them, not just, you know, you gotta develop the strength part of it with Coach Phyllis and those guys, and then we do the scheme stuff with us, and then you have that other part of it to develop the mind, and you know, he's taking advantage of that, and I think it's really helped him be a higher performer.
I'll throw some national numbers up on the screen from some of your special teams guys. We're talking about Will and Keelan and Parker. They have some really high national rankings right now. And it's tough to have a special season without guys who have special seasons, meaning individually putting up some nationally notable numbers, and that's what your guys are doing.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said with Will, he's done a great job. He's 17 for 20 right now, is that right?
That's right.
On the season. And yep. So, yeah, that's an exceptional number. And, you know, Keelan with two touchdowns in a season, I don't know. Going back to probably my University of Virginia days, we had a guy that did that, but I can't remember ever having two in one season. And then, you know, Parker obviously has done a great job, I think, especially lately, of securing the ball and being a really good punt catcher back there. And we're so close. We were really close in this game of getting a really big punt return late in the third quarter. But just like I said before, when you got great players, they make your job a lot easier as a coach. And so just glad these guys are on our team.
And two of those guys you picked as your special teams players of the week in Will and Keelan.
Yeah, I couldn't just sit here and say, I got to give it to Will for the game winner, because we're really never in that situation unless Keelan and the kickoff return team does their job and gets those, gets those 7 points on in the second quarter there. And so, special teams, we end up getting three field goals and a KOR touchdown, so 16 points. That's pretty exciting, and that's fun, especially in that game. I always challenge our guys when we're playing a really good, solid special teams team like Utah. We got to outperform them, and I think our guys did that in this game.
Yeah, the 10-point night for Will with his three field goals and the PAT. Those are your players of the week. By the way, number 44 hit from 44 yards for the win on Saturday night. All right, next Saturday you can tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. We now know that the game will kick at 8:15 Mountain, so we'll be on the air at 6 Mountain, 8 Eastern. The Cougs take on the Kansas Jayhawks, second-to-last home game of the regular season. As we go to break, this reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads, JCW's, quality, and a lot of it. In Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, a look ahead to BYU and KU with Coach K-Pop. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We are back on the Coordinator's Corner, closing segment with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga as we preview this weekend's upcoming game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It's BYU versus Kansas in the third all-time meeting between these two programs, first ever in Provo. This look at the Jayhawks is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. There you see the Jayhawks, 3-6 on the year, 2-4 in conference, got a nice win Saturday. We're playing at Arrowhead. They've not been playing at their home stadium this year because of construction, so they've been splitting games up in Kansas City. They were at Arrowhead on Saturday and beat Iowa State 45-36. Last year, it was a game BYU led at halftime, as I recall, Coach Papinga, and then KU came back for the win.
Yeah, you know, turnovers, I think, got us in that game, and I don't think we got any turnovers. We didn't take the ball away. We did. I think we got a pick. I think Ben Bywater got a pick early in the game, but I think they still won the turnover battle.
And I think they scored twice on defense, a scoop and score and a pick six.
Yeah, and then, you know, they're just a super solid team. This is the, I was telling my player, I sent him a text this morning, this is the best 3-6 team I've ever seen.
No kidding.
And I think they have 5 losses by a total of 15 points, something crazy like that. So they've lost some really, really close games. And then you just go to see what they did to Iowa State this last week. This is a super solid team. This is a team that has great quarterback play, great running backs. There's 2 of them that I think are exceptional, maybe the top in the Big 12.
Neil and Hyshaw.
Yep. And their O-line's as good as we've seen. They're physical, they're athletic, and then they got some receivers that are experienced. They basically have their whole team back then from what we played a year ago where I thought they were really good on offense. And so, yeah, we're going to have to play exceptional on defense for 4 quarters with these guys. And I think we're looking at this morning, there's not one team that's held them under 150 yards rushing. So every team's – or they've ran over 150 yards plus against every team in the country or every team that they played this year. So it's going to be a big challenge for us.
And the quarterback is a big, big part of that run game. Quarterback Jalen Daniels, still the same guy that was picked as the preseason offensive player of the year last year in the Big 12. They're top 5 in third downs. They're top 5 in red zone offense. A lot of things to challenge you this weekend for sure. And their OC is Jeff Grimes.
Oh, yeah, and Coach Grimes was the O-line coach when I was here back when I was a player. So, yeah, I know Coach Grimes well, and he knows us really well as a staff, so I'm sure he'll have some good schemes. But, we're going to have to play exceptional and really play how we did for those 3 quarters at Utah. We're going to have to play like that for a whole entire game against these guys. So it'll be fun. It's going to be a great challenge for our guys, and hopefully we can keep that special teams mojo going to help us give an advantage there. But, you know, I know our guys are going to be ready and probably – you know, getting our guys, you know, after today, we'll go to team meeting and celebrate some of this stuff because we haven't been together as a team since then. So we'll watch some film, review the Utah game, and then about from 5 o'clock, after 5 o'clock today, we're moving on and can't look back and can't dwell on this game anymore. We got to get all of our focus on Kansas because it's going to take everything we got.
You got it. Well, good luck in the week of prep and good luck on Saturday night.
Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. All right. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and a special guest. Take a look back at that win over Utah and ahead to Saturday against the Jayhawks. Tuesday nights, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. Coming up next, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill joins us. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. And Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Second half hour of the show begins now with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. Joining me, we are recapping Saturday night's win in Salt Lake City. 22-21 Cougs over the Utes. BYU now 7th in the AP poll, 9-0 on the season, 6-0 in the Big 12. 2 wins in a row now for BYU over the U. We start the second half of our show by saying hello to Coach Jay Hill. Hi, Jay.
How are you?
Very, very well. Very well indeed. Let's start actually with the fact that there's a lot of crossover between these two schools in the staff rooms. So many of the current BYU coaches, including Kalani, you, Coach A-Rod, and others, used to coach with Kyle Whittingham on the Hill.
Well, we owe a lot to Coach Witt. He helped train us, a lot of us, when we were young coaches. He gave us our first full-time jobs, me, A-Rod, Kalani, Sione, Puha. So there's so much that we owe to him. We learned a lot of football from him. A lot of what we base in our beliefs on how to coach and what we believe in with schemes and stuff like that come from him. So there is a lot of crossover.
Having seen the rivalry from both sides as a player and a coach, you speak in very positive terms about this game and its importance. And it's going to be even more important now with both teams now moving forward in the same conference.
Well, I love it. I've said it all along. I loved playing in it when I was a player. I loved coaching in it all the years I was there. There's so much passion and energy from the fans, from the players. A lot of our guys had never played in this game, and I told them what it was going to be like, and I don't think that they fully understood just the atmosphere that they were going to be playing in. I just love it. I think it's what college football is supposed to be like.
Yeah, because the hit and the miss aspect of the rivalry recently, the last trip up there was 6 years ago. So, yeah, the experience of playing in their building and even having that really wasn't there yet for everyone.
Well, it wasn't. Not one of our players had played at Rice-Eccles yet. And so they didn't know that atmosphere that they were fully going into. I mean, you can try to explain it, but you don't quite know. And just the hatred that goes on amongst the fans and the banter back and forth. I just, I just don't think that there's any way to explain it to a new guy that hasn't been in there until he sees it for real.
Well, you were game planning for a new OC and a new starting quarterback. How much of the early part of the game was a discovery process for you?
Well, not much. We didn't think that they would change drastically. I tried like crazy to watch a lot of film on this coordinator from last year's Northwestern film. We did have one game on the quarterback where he'd played substantial reps. I didn't think the scheme was going to change drastically. They'd have a couple wrinkles, but I thought we did a good job. We got out of the first drive 3 and out, and then we created a turnover on the second drive. So that was not ever a part of really an issue.
And maybe to that, your defense records its first takeaway of the game on the second drive. It was a double pass, and J-Rob gets the pick, his second of the year.
Oh, well.
Third of the year.
Yeah, third of the year. J-Rob's playing outstanding. I thought his coverage was good all night. That was a huge play in this game where we gave the offense a short field. The start was good.
3-0 BYU lead. Well, here's the first of all, it was a bit of a gadget, a double throw, and he threw into coverage.
Well, he threw into coverage. Ideally on the other side of the ball, you would hope he wouldn't throw that, but our guys played it perfectly. He's thrown into triple coverage right there, you can see, and then J-Rob does a great job staying home.
Okay, 3-0 BYU lead after one. Utah did all of its scoring in the second quarter. They scored on all three of their possessions in that quarter. They were 4-for-4 on third downs in that quarter, but all four conversions, I think, came on one drive to make it 14-10. It was pretty concentrated in terms of where they got going on Saturday night.
Well, it was, and the disappointing thing to that is on the very first third down, it's 3rd and 11, and we run a play, and it's right here. We got him baited into exactly what we want him to throw, and we just took a little bit of a bad angle. Then we had other opportunities out of the drive, and we just didn't effectively execute the scheme. But we had our chances over and over and over in these drives to get out of them. We just didn't execute well.
Okay, the final Utah TD of the second quarter came on a short field after a BYU turnover on down. So you are down 21-10 after the break. Did that feel like, how did you feel at 21-10? Did it match what you were calling and or seeing on the field?
Well, a lot of self-inflicted wounds in that game where in that second quarter, we didn't get lined up one time on the big long run. We had him baited into the throw that we wanted him to throw, and we just took a little bit of an improper angle. I probably should have made an adjustment a little quicker. We did it at halftime, but I probably should have made an adjustment maybe a series sooner. Bottom line, that's part of the games. There's ups and downs. They have really good players. They have good coaches at the University of Utah. I wish I'd have made that adjustment just a little bit sooner.
How did you feel, though, going into the locker room down 11?
Well, we felt fine. If we just play like we did in the first quarter, and line up the proper way and execute what we had called, I think we had an opportunity to be successful in the game, and we did that in the second half. I thought the guys came out of halftime, executed at a very high rate, and the results were really good.
We'll see how BYU turned things around after halftime and picked up that big win in Salt Lake City. When we come back on this program, you can get ready for BYU and Kansas this upcoming Saturday with BYU Sports Nation's expanded pregame coverage 2 hours prior to kickoff. It is BYU Sports Nation game day, 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain on BYU TV. When we return, more with defensive coordinator Jay Hill as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, back with more and Coach Hill right after this. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, wrapping up our look back at a 22-21 win at Utah with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. With the win, BYU 9-0 on the year, 6-0 in league. KU comes to town this Saturday night. All right, we went into our break with BYU down 11 at halftime. All your defense did after halftime was throw a shutout. Did you think you had found some answers after the first 30 minutes, or was it as much execution, as you said, as anything in the second half?
Well, I thought it was mostly execution where we made our mistakes in the first half. I think that we made some adjustments as coaches. It was more just coming out, settling down, playing the right way. And I really thought the players were outstanding in the second half.
From a logistical standpoint, you're in the booth. You got to make the trek down at halftime. How much time do you have with your guys to say what you want to say?
Well, I've got to give a ton of credit to our assistant coaches because I don't leave the box at halftime.
So you do stay there?
I do.
Okay, I thought you went down.
I stay in the box. All the other coaches leave. That's just a this year thing.
Okay.
So I basically send Coach Enna down with, hey, I want you guys to address these things. They bring back to me, hey, this is what we kind of collaborated with. And then we just kind of make our adjustments from there. But I have not been going down.
Okay. If you were to stay in the booth in the future, let's say, would you be a guy that goes down at halftime moving forward?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Utah tight end Brant Keithy left the game early in the third quarter. He's done for the year, it sounded like, what Coach Whittingham said post-game, which would be very sad. Great player. That left the Utes minus a really important weapon at that point.
Well, he is a great player, and he's made a lot of plays for them over the years. I don't know what the injury is. I know what play he got injured on. I think J-Rob played that very well. He caught the shoulder exactly the way we ask and coach them to do it, and then it looked like right on the catch where J-Rob makes contact, his knee kind of buckled. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the injury is. I feel horrible for him. He's a great player and, what I understand, a great kid.
One of the main guys you had to game plan for, though, certainly was 80.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, he's made a lot of plays throughout the year, throughout his career. He made the huge touchdown catch early in the game and the touchdown run. So, I mean, that was definitely a weapon they were missing late.
It was on their next series after Keithy left that BYU's defense recorded its second takeaway of the night. One of your safeties, Crew Wakely, gets his third career INT and second of the season.
Yeah, that was a huge play. He's rolling back to the middle of the field. The quarterback comes back, throws it right to him. He does a good job adjusting back to the throw. Obviously a huge turnover here and another opportunity for us to give the offense a shorter field.
After the pick, BYU did make a field goal to make it an 8-point game at 21-13. The Utes' next drive was important because it got to your 40-yard line. On 3rd and 10 from your 43, they decide to run Jalen Glover on and then punt and pin. Were you expecting pass on that 3rd and 10 or at your 43?
No, I actually thought they were going to run it, but I thought they were running it to go for it on 4th. Mm. So where we stop it just for like a 4-yard gain, I think if they would have got 5 or 6 yards,
it would have gone.
They go for it. That was their tendency going into the game. So I really thought they were going to play it more conservative in that point.
Okay. So they do punt and pin. They execute. But BYU does drive 95 yards for a touchdown. It was the drive of the game, really, until the final drive. And now it's a whole new ball game at 21-19. By the way, kudos to this BYU offense. I broke it down last night. They've had 5 touchdown drives of 85 yards or longer this year.
Well, they've been outstanding. I've said that all along. I think Coach Roderick does a phenomenal job with his play calling. To listen to him up in the box, he's extremely intelligent. He stays within the moment. I think the offense in those situations this year has been outstanding. When we're backed up, they do a good job of getting out of the hole.
If I could ask another logistical question, because I'll never be in there with you. Up in the box, is it a pretty, professional, quiet atmosphere? Does a coordinator get the time on the headset to speak, and then the other, is it, maybe you could give me a sense of that.
So there's conversations going on while the offense is out there. We are conversing on the headsets and stuff, but we try like crazy to be quiet in our conversations so that we're not interrupting what they need to hear, and vice versa. When we're out there on the field, the offense is really pretty quiet so that we can get the communication done that we need to. We try not to have a lot of outside noise, just so you can focus on what we got to get done.
Now, when a big play happens or a touchdown or a pick, you can celebrate a little bit.
Oh, we can celebrate. In the box, when we kick that field goal at the end of the game, that's probably the most I've celebrated in the box, especially since the heart attack. That was a pretty exciting moment. But we do. We celebrate touchdowns and interceptions and stuff like that.
And we've got an occasional coordinator and Coach Boothcam glimpses as well, which I love. All right, it was a real tug-of-war in the fourth quarter on Saturday. Offense struggled to gain ground. It was up to your defense to kind of hold the line and just keep giving Coach Roderick and his guys a chance to get back on the field.
Well, Utah does a good job. They do the same thing that we try to do. When you got a team backed up and pinned, be aggressive, keep them pinned. Make them punt where you're going to get the ball close to the 50-yard line and go at it again. And if you can't flip that field position, that's a really helpless position to be in, because it's like Coach Roderick's got to call the game to be smart because you're backed up. And then I got to call the game where they can't get any yards because anything puts them in field goal range and takes a 2-score lead. And so that's where I thought the defense was absolutely outstanding, is on those short fields that they had, we were able to get out of all those drives without giving up a field goal.
And maybe just about the challenge Coach Roderick and his guys faced, Utah's defense has been and is one of the best in the country.
It is. Yeah, Coach Scally does a phenomenal job. Coach Whittingham's a defensive coach. He's trained all of us guys that have gone through there well on, how to handle those certain situations. And they have great players. So to pull that out in that situation in the fourth quarter that we were in, backed up in our own end zone, I thought it was a huge tribute to the offense moving it out of there. And then the defense getting out of those drives that we had to when they had the short fields. Mm-hmm. It was such a team deal to win that fourth quarter the way we did. Huge win.
It was as complimentary a game as they get, quite frankly. Utah's final two offensive snaps of the night. A third and one at the BYU 40, and after a penalty, a third and 11 now at midfield. You guys had to make a play both times.
Well, we did. And if you watch that, I know a lot's been said about how the officiating was and all that stuff, but Tyler Batty, he gets held brutally bad right there. I mean, the guy grabs him and throws him down. That should be called every time. There's no way the ref should ever miss that call. And so it backs him up into a third and 11, and one of their tendencies was to throw screens. Here you see the DB showing up quickly on the screen, and we were able to get out of it. That was huge, because again, if you don't right there, they're going to bleed out the rest of the clock. We don't have time to go down and score the game-winning field goal. And those were critical, critical plays.
So they punt, the offense is backed up. BYU gets the ball back, and the game for a minute looked like it was over, and then it wasn't on the penalty. Your emotions in that moment, where it's down to one play, and if you're just focusing on the line of scrimmage, you don't see the flag. Utah looks like it's done what it needed to do. Then there was a flag, and the game continued.
Well, let's be real. Flags are part of the game. And we've always said that if you leave the game up to one flag, then you really haven't done your part, in my opinion. And flags are part of the game. Making plays after the flag, we still got to go 95 yards after the flag, or 90 yards. And so it's not like the offense still had to go do what they needed to get done. And I think that that's a critical part in this game is, what do you still have to do to win the game? And the offense went down there and did it. And then Will Farron, obviously a huge field goal.
All you can do is watch the offense try to get you in position for that game-winning field goal. What are you seeing? What are you thinking in that final minute?
Well, I think you got to get the balls to your playmakers. You got to get the ball to your playmakers, which we did. You know, this is a heck of a throw by Jake and a great catch, obviously, by Chase. There were some huge runs in this drive that we hit. Darius Lassiter obviously making a play right there.
The Hinkley run right here.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many great things that occurred, and those guys still had to step up and make those plays to get us in field goal range. And then here the offense putting us in a good position to kick the field goal. So there's so much that still went on post-penalty that everyone wants to talk about that were huge plays and parts of that game and the outcome.
Exactly right. There was a lot left to do in those final 2 minutes. And by the way, the offense ran 11 plays to get where they needed to be by the end with no timeouts. All right, let's sum up the night with some second half stats, because I thought it was the story of the game. Mm-hmm. In the second half, it's 12-0 in terms of points. The yards were almost 3-1. BYU snapped 13 more plays, only 25 snaps for Utah in the half. The yards per play number, you win at 3.2 if you're a defense holding an offense at 3.2 for sure, and more than doubled up in first downs. And we have to always acknowledge the importance of the turnover margin for the game. BYU's plus 2 in the Cougars' last 3 wins over Utah, Coach. BYU's not turned it over once officially, no giveaways.
Well, and I think they actually count the very last play of the game as a fumble, so plus 3.
Oh, really? On that lateral?
On the lateral. So, anyway, bottom line, anytime you beat an opponent plus 2 or plus 3, you got a good chance to win the game. Them winning the field position battle was a big deal as to why that wasn't even more of a, you know, lopsided game. So we won the turnover margin. They won the field position battle. That's why it was such a close game down to the wire.
In the second half of the game, Utah snapped only 5 offensive plays on BYU's side of the 50 after halftime.
Well, and what's amazing about that is in the fourth quarter, the field position they were getting, that was us getting out of those drives quickly.
I think BYU might have been minus 30 in field position in the fourth quarter alone based on how the field position was stacking up.
See, that's kind of what I was talking about is to do that and not let them cross the 50-yard line. That was great defense. The players absolutely stepped up when they needed to do it, offense and defense. I can't say enough about just the buy-in for the guys, the belief in the guys. Kalani's done such a good job of instilling that culture and belief in what we're trying to accomplish, and it came to fruition on Saturday.
Okay, then you did get to come down out of the booth after the game. That next hour or so was about as much fun as you could possibly have on a football field.
It was. That was a great celebration. A lot of celebrations we've had on that field. And now to flip the colors and have the celebration on that field meant so much. Coach Kalani was outstanding after the game, just noting to the players and everybody how much that game meant to us of going back up there and playing against them.
There's
so many guys that have ties to that place and played up there. Me and Sione and Gary Anderson and Chad Kaha and Aaron Roderick and Kalani, we'd all coached there or played there. And this game is big for the fans, but it's big for the coaches too. I mean, we want to win that game. We have friends on both sides of this deal, and that's a critical piece to what this rivalry is right now.
Defensive player of the game. Let's get to that before our break here. Yeah, you picked Mark Collins in this one.
Oh, he was outstanding. He made huge plays, had a bunch of PBUs, timely tackles that were just critical. I thought this was a huge play in this game, obviously there. He almost had a pick six on his pass interference. He just kind of bumped the guy as he went to go by him on the interception, but this is a great hit. I thought he played outstanding.
And Coach Aaron Roderick selected Chase Roberts as his offensive player of the week.
Well, Chase, big play Chase, right? I mean, he makes critical plays at critical times, huge catches. He's got some of the best hands in the country for sure. Love him, and he's a critical part to our success.
And of course, Chase makes the big 30-yard grab on the final offensive possession of the game that helped set BYU up into field goal position. So congratulations to Chase Roberts. He had 100 yards from scrimmage on the night, right on the number. He had 91 receiving and 9 rushing, and there's that big pass we alluded to and catch from Chase. All right, time again for a break. As we step away, we remind you that your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Jerem and Spencer weekdays, noon Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio. Closing segment with Coach Hill coming up next. Coordinator's Corner brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU getting ready for Kansas now, Saturday night. BYU does so at 9-0, 6-0 in the Big 12, all alone atop the conference. Kansas has, I guess the cliche is that, don't be deceived by the record. This is a 3-16 that doesn't look like one, especially on offense.
Well, offensively speaking, they're as good as there is in the Big 12, maybe in the country. They got a great quarterback, Daniels. The running back, Devin Neal, is a great player. They've been two of the best in the conference for 3 years now. The offensive line is very veteran. The wide receivers have played a lot. So this is a very good offense.
Your team has some eyes on some big prizes right now with a conference championship game and a new 12-team playoff. But the beauty of this team and this program has been it's all KU right now.
Well, it's all KU right now. We got to win at home. That's been such a strength of us and our fan base. We need them all showing up. They say it's going to be a little bit cold, but we need everyone there because it's been such a huge home field advantage. If we can play great at home, we're going to, at worst, end 11-1. We just got to win our home games and then handle the road, what we got to get done. But this is a big one. We got to get to 10-0.
Look forward to Saturday night. Coach, good luck in your week of prep, and good luck on the weekend.
Can't wait.
All right, thank you, Coach. That'll do it for week 10 of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Kelly Papinga and Jay Hill and our entire crew, my name is Greg Grubel. We will see you next week right back here on the Coordinator's Corner. Have a great week. Go Cougs.